joining us this morning to talk about, well, about climate change and some of the changes we're making. We have Sarah Harding.
Good morning.
And from Climate Smart Glacier Country, there we go, Robin Kelson. Hi. Good to have you back again.
Thanks so much.
All right, let's talk a little bit about climate change. The reality is climate change is happening. We can agree or disagree about how it's happening or why it's happening.
It keeps changing all the time, in my perspective.
But the fact of the matter is that that we're experiencing changes in our world, and there's some things that we can do about it.
We are experiencing global weirding.
That's a good way to put it.
That's a way of putting it.
Yeah. So the IPCC recently in October announced that we have 18 months to demand major policy changes necessary to prevent climate collapse.
Now, who's the
The Intergovernmental Panel in Climate Change.
Okay.
And it's a worldwide organization.
All right. Good.
And that is within the 12 years that they've estimated that we have until the tipping point, from which there's no return from our climate
so they say 18 months
we 18 months to demand policy changes.
Oh, okay. All right,
so we all got to start talking now.
We're hypersensitive about this because of what we see in the rainforests down there. That sure caught everybody's attention.
It sure did. Yeah, and it's everywhere. There's something happening everywhere all the time.
It's going to affect us all and people that we love.
I think the thing that we have to realize here, when we say global warming or we say climate change, however you want to put it, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to get warmer. What it means is that things are going to change.
Yeah.
And we've seen changes in the jet stream, for example. It goes further north and shoots further south than it ever did before. Anybody who's a commercial airline pilot will tell you that when you fly up in the what they call the flight levels up above 15,000-20,000 feet, that the jet stream plays a very big role in how fast you can go and what your ground speed's going to be, whether you're coming or going at it. And the jet stream's not there in some places where it used to be now.
Right. And so that's the other thing, is that climate change doesn't stop at anybody's door. You know, it's something that happens in one part of the world has an impact on another area. So we all have to participate.
So let's bring it home here. Yeah. Let's bring it down to our families, and that's where you are, Sarah.
That's where I am. So I'm an accidental activist. Last winter, our family went on the trip of a lifetime to West Sumatra, and we got to be on a boat, and we were traveling around these amazing islands in the middle of the Indian Ocean, white sand beaches, a palm tree, gorgeous tropical water.
Yeah.
And we'd pull up to this island and it'd be covered in plastic.
Oh, man.
Plastic.
The beach, the island, the whole thing was covered.
So now
in plastic.
The plastic, are we talking like grocery bags and just all different forms?
Huh? Bottles, toys, flip-flops.
Just floats. It ends
anything
up there.
Anything that floats, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so it was heartbreaking, and I decided that we have to do better. And so making soap was a skill that I had, and so I decided to come home and start making shampoo bars. And our country uses a lot of shampoo bottles. I mean, if we switched to shampoo bars, we could save 552 million shampoo bottles. So less than 10% of plastic is recycled. And so if we can even switch one shampoo bottle out per year, that would save 122 million plastic bottles.
My gosh, you look in most people's showers and you see a row of bottles.
Yeah.
Shampoo and conditioner and so on. Mm-hmm. Sarah, talk with you. You mentioned about recycling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what plastics can we recycle and what can't we?
Here, we can only recycle number one and number two, which is a pretty small percentage of the plastics.
Yeah. What happens to the others?
They get thrown away into the landfill. Yeah. Dump mountain.
Now, have either of you heard about this cold plasma pyrolysis?
I have not.
I have.
Okay, well, we're not going to hear about it there. The thing is, I had heard about it, and I did a Google search, and there's somewhere in the world they're gathering plastic out of the ocean, like raking it.
Oh, yeah.
And doing a process. Now, I don't know if it's financially or energy efficient, but they can turn that plastic into oxygen or water.
Right. So that's a really great point, because what everybody seems to identify is that there are three components to changing our approaches to the way we live in a way that will be more receptive to the changes that are coming, and that's adaptation, mitigation, and education. And so that would be an example of adapting. And mitigating would be, can we find other solutions that don't require us to use more and more plastic?
Yeah.
So Sarah's business is an effort to try to support that.
I want to know how you can get soap in a box or shampoo in a box.
Yeah.
Well, it's a cold processed soap. And so it's made with natural ingredients, and it hardens and cut into bars. And then we put it in a recycled cardboard box.
And this is shampoo.
It's shampoo.
It looks like a bar of soap.
It does.
And you just rub it in your hands and put it on your hair.
You got it.
Wow. Do you have conditioner, too, that works like that?
I don't. I have been working on conditioner, and so far, all I've ended up with is greasy hair.
Oh, well, we don't want that. So now you have three different boxes there. Tell us what those are.
So we have two, what I refer to as the bear soaps, a grizzly bar and black bar. And they're delightful soaps. I kind of designed the package with visitors in mind, but they're wonderful for everyone. They smell like pine and juniper.
That's good, because bears don't smell particularly good.
I know.
Wow,
thought about
yeah.
making a joke about that on the package, but I didn't.
Well, I see it's black bar and grizzly bar.
Yeah, well,
like
right.
Davy Crockett killed him a bar when he was only three. Huh?
Exactly.
I love it. Kids would love it, too. So we've got shampoo in boxes, and it just in bars of soap. It'll just sit. How long does a bar of shampoo last?
It lasts about three times as long as a bottle of shampoo.
Really?
Because there's no water. So you're just using a really small amount each time that you wash.
My gosh. Okay. Well, that's one way that we can save on plastic, and we can save, you know. How about
packaging, you know. That's what we're talking about on a lot of things.
And you say that the packaging is recyclable?
Yes. It's recycled cardboard, and then it's also, again, recyclable.
Wow. What a deal. All right. Sarah brought with us some shampoo in boxes that are like bars of soap. And, you know, I guess we were saying, you know, may not work for everybody, but you know what? If it worked for half of everybody, what a difference it would make.
Yeah, carrots don't work for everybody. I mean,
carrots?
That's okay. We still have carrots.
Squash. I'm in there with you.
But I think that it's important that these are not one-size-fits-all types of solutions. These are little things that we can do to make a big difference. And let's talk about some of those little things we're doing, Robin.
Okay. Well, one of the things that we're doing through Climate Smart Glacier Country is inviting more people to learn how to engage in conversations about climate change and what the impact could be in their communities and how they can make a difference. And one of the things we're doing is co-sponsoring this community climate conversation October 5th at the Whitefish Community Library. Sarah is a co-sponsor through her company and along with Families for a Livable Climate out of Missoula. They have a speaker coming, Winona
Bateman.
Bateman,
yes.
Who's been trained through a program sponsored by Al Gore's Climate Reality Project. So he's training people all over the world so they can learn how to talk about climate change and engage communities to think about climate change and share.
Let's talk. Can we dive into that just a little bit and how that's done? Because there are just so many people out there that absolutely don't want to hear it.
Right.
They just don't want to hear it. I like the way things are. I don't want to change. I want to drive my car. I want to be free to use whatever soap I want to use. If I don't want to throw things, I don't have to. How do you talk to people who simply deny that there's a problem?
Well, it's painful. I mean, we want to hold it out away from us. We want it to be far off in the future, something that we don't have to worry about. But when it's really brought onto an emotional level and we can tell stories, like my story of the plastic on the beach, it makes us realize that the time is now and that our children and our children's children are not going to be able to fix this problem.
Yeah.
The problem is now, and we have to do it.
That's one thing about the people that have their fingers in the ears going, la, 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 I don't want to hear it, is what about your children, your offspring, your grandchildren, you know, because they possibly aren't going to have what we had growing up as far as our surroundings, everything. Now, what were those three things that you mentioned? Mitigation, adaptability?
Adaptation, mitigation, and education.
Okay, so we're educating right now.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. And I think your point is incredibly well taken about children. It's hard to visualize this, but the truth of the matter is that we are leaving our kids and our grandkids a future that is very, very different from the one that we've lived. And so trying to make that leap and not be overwhelmed by any shame or guilt around it, but still be able to have the resources to say, let's do something about it, that's the big deal.
And another aspect is that we need to grieve that future that we may not be able to provide for our children, or that we may not be able to have. And it's a necessary step to be able to move forward and make changes.
So we're, the reality is the climate is changing. There's no question. Now, how much more it's going to change, how much more quickly it's going to change, we can take that out of the discussion because it's happening all around us. What we have to understand is how we're going to adapt to it.
Right.
And so, what we're going to do.
So I have some action items for folks that are looking to make changes that just maybe don't know where to start, feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So my suggestion would be to add one action to your daily or weekly to-do list. And I'm not going to pretend to know what things you're doing well or what you're falling down on. But you can look at your own life and see where you can make these changes to reduce and refuse and reuse.
Mm-hmm. We've got the canvas bags for our grocery trips, and I forget them in the car.
Yeah.
You know?
In fact, Smith's has a sign out there. Yeah. It says, did you forget your plastic, your bag? Did you forget your canvas bag? So, that's just one thing. If we can just put that more in the front of our minds.
Prioritize it. Yeah. Right. And so then within that, three action items would be to make your voice heard for local, state, and national levels, to really call your legislators and your representatives and let them know what matters to you. And the second thing would be to look at your home and your workplace for energy efficiency. Here in Montana, that looks like weatherproofing, insulating, in the summer, walking or carpooling.
I just got my free LED light bulbs from Flathead Electric.
Oh, you got
them. Exactly.
Yeah,
I got those too. And then the third would be sustainability. And a lot of people focus on the kitchen and the bathroom because we eat a lot. We eat three times a day. And so most of our trash is being made in the kitchen and the bathroom.
What do you do about that?
Well, you can buy differently. You can choose to not use single-use plastics.
Oh, okay.
You can choose to not buy paper napkins and paper towels and instead use cloth napkins and dish towels. You can remember your reusable coffee cup and your reusable water bottle. I mean, water bottles are just such an easy switch that most people have already adapted.
Well, Robin and I have done that.
I see that.
Now, I have to admit that I've been buying the plastic cups because we don't have a dishwasher. Our place is really small, and neither one of us likes to wash the dishes. So I'm looking for, paper plates and stuff. While we're going to have hot dogs tonight, let's just use paper plates. So we should get over it and wash our dishes and reuse our coffee cups and all that kind of stuff.
That brings up another point, okay? What about the phosphates and stuff in soap and detergent?
Well, this detergents are different from cold processed soap.
Right,
so,
right. Yeah. But I mean, we do have
lauryl sulfate. It causes the foaming.
Yes, it's a foaming ingredient. Yeah.
Well, those are one of the things. But if we, for example, if we don't use paper napkins, we have to wash their cloth napkins.
Right.
And what does that do as far as putting soap and stuff back into the water?
Well, cloth napkins, washing a cloth napkin uses a lot less water than manufacturing a paper napkin or a paper plate. Mm-hmm. And then you're also saving the trees, which is so cliche, but trees actually really do help us.
Yeah, well.
But in answer to your question about the soap, you can you know, you can buy laundry detergents and dishwashing detergents that are low in phosphates or that are, you know, don't are environmentally friendly.
So back to your point, buyer beware.
Yeah.
Our guest this morning, reduced waste advocate Sarah Harding, and from Climate Smart Glacier Country, Robin Kelson, making a powerful plea to take action. You know, education, adaptation, mitigation. Now, you have an event coming up, Families for a Livable Climate, on October 5th. Is this all education, or is there a Q&A? How is this going to work?
Well, Winona Bateman is going to come up from Missoula, and she and I met about 8 years ago at an Aero conference, and I just saw this summer that she was trained by Al Gore's group, and so I asked her to come do a presentation on Saturday, October 5th, and she's going to do a 10-minute climate reality presentation, and then she'll lead us through some writing prompts that allow us each to tell our climate story.
Okay, great. So people will be able to, now, this is for families, right?
I would say it's for adults and potentially high schoolers.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say that it's really a super child-friendly activity.
And they might distract.
Well, be bored.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
I'm but, just gonna, if I can just jump in here.
Sure.
So Winona Bateman, I believe, is the founder or at least a participant in an organization called Families for a Livable Climate that's out of Missoula.
Okay.
So that's why she and her organization are co-sponsoring this event. But it's really for anybody, whether you've got kids or not.
Okay. October 5th, where's it going to be?
It's going to be at the Whitefish Community Library.
Okay.
From 3 to 5 p.m.
Okay, and what day of the week is that?
It's a Saturday.
Oh, that works.
Yeah, yes. See.
And the goal is that her story about climate impact is going to be focused on Montana's climate, so people can understand and make connections with the experiences they've had themselves, and then she'll invite people to develop a practice that can help them make connections to how climate has impacted them in their lives, and then. It'll wrap up with people coming away with some specific actions that they can take, but also specifically kind of creating that space for allowing them to be able to share about the impact climate's had in their lives. Because the big thing is talking about it. Somehow we have this cone of silence.
And we have different challenges, different times of the year.
That's
so
right.
That'll be great. October 5th, a Saturday, 3 to 5 p.m. at the Whitefish Library?
That's correct.
Right. Excellent.
Ladies, thank you so much for all you're doing and getting the word out there, and we're glad you were with us this morning.
Thanks so very much. It's a free event.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's a free event. Be sure you get that.
The price is right, you guys.
Sarah Harding and Robin Kelson, thanks so much.